This program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Joanna LaForgia from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting content from the January-February copy of Southern Living magazine. This week, we'll hear from the editor's essay that ends, Rick Bragg's Southern Journal, that ends on the back page of every issue of the magazine. And then we'll move on to finish the article we began in our last episode about counterculture, which is about diners in the South, all across the South. And then, if we have time, maybe we'll take a little cruise, see what's happening in the cruise culture. Okay? All right. The cover of this magazine is, it's a gold, a burnt orange kind of sunset orange tone with soil brown as well. That's the tone of it. That's the color of the table. There's a rimmed baking sheet set vertically on the table. We're looking down on it. It's got a bunch of chicken wings that are look crispy and moist. And it's interspersed with pickle chips. And there are two round dishes at the top or end of the tray as we're looking down on it. One's filled with coleslaw and one with baked beans. Then there's some celery and some appears to be blue cheese dressing streaked with some of the barbecue sauce from the chicken wings. From top to bottom, the magazine reads, Southern Living, the wing list, 20 best chicken wing spots in the South. And listeners, you can find that on our, I believe it was our, February 6th or February 13th episode of Southern Living, a podcast, which are all podcasts now, of course, on our website. All right. And then across the bottom, it says, plus winning Super Bowl recipes, January, February 2026, a hobby garden in full bloom, the rich taste of chicory desserts, and the cheeriest home in Florida. And we're now on the back page. And here we have Rick Bragg's Southern Journal. And Rick's last name is spelled B-R-A-G-G. And this is entitled An Acquired Taste. The place that changed my mind about a despised Southern dish. The cartoon that begins this, listeners, it's about a quarter of a page. It's a caricature of Rick Bragg. He's got a receding hairline, brown hair, brown eyes, and kind of a bulbous nose in this caricature, and a sparse brown beard and a brown mustache. And he is sitting at a table on a red vinyl chair with a red and white checked tablecloth. And someone is presenting him with a pizza. And it's a waitress. She's in a blue dress. And she appears to be in her 50s. And she's wearing glasses, looking down at him as she presents him. She's got brown hair flipped. It's in a flip hairstyle, flipped at the ends and parted in the middle. Light brown dress with a white apron and light brown socks and brown shoes. Rick Bragg's wearing blue trousers and a light brown shirt with dark brown vertical stripes that are very widely spaced. Their thin stripes widely spaced apart. He is grabbing his chair, which is kind of tilting backwards as she comes to him with this pizza. And he seems to have knocked things down because upon the table, or not really, we should say above the table, float a fork, a spoon, and a knife appear to be dislodged, knocked off the table. So they're floating above it, and there's a glass of some liquid. I guess it's water that's tilted on its side, and it is spilling out. So it was dislodged as well. And in the background, there are a couple of diners looking from some booths, sitting at booths in front of the windows of this appears to be a diner. There are cars parked outside, but we can see the rear trunks, or boots, as they might be called, of cars parked in the parking lot through the windows. Okay, and here is our Southern Journal. I liked just about everything my mama cooked back when I was a boy. Her little kitchen on Roy Webb Road piled hot biscuits up to the moon and poured forth rivers of white milk gravy. There was always, always a pot of beans bubbling on her stove. That was what I believed true wealth to be. We banged through the screened door, wild-eyed and starving, and were fed like kings. Well, almost always. About once every week or so, it was sauerkraut and weenie day, and I wept. I mean it. I really cried. Someday, she told me, you'll like it. No, not now, not never, no how, I said, running off to pout. Why would this woman who claimed to love me ruin a perfectly good hot dog by chopping it up and drowning it in a pan of soured cabbage? Someday, was all she said. I grew up and got old and figured that I'd leave this world without ever having to choke down that dish again. But this life sure can be a mystery, and mothers, it seems, are always right. A couple decades ago, I was driving through a place called Alberta City, running late to teach a class at the University of Alabama, when I first saw a meet and three called Wright's Restaurant. This institution, located along my route, has served good food since the 1950s. And listeners, Meat and Three is spelled M-E-A-T apostrophe N apostrophe T-H-R-E-E. It seems to be a common noun here. It's not the name of anything. He first saw this Meat and Three called Wright's Restaurant. Wright's is W-R-I-G-H-T. Okay, it's the kind of establishment that makes you glad to be alive. Most of the customers spent half a century working with their hands, and it seems like just about everyone is kin to, lives next door to, or goes to church with everyone else. They talk about fishing and grandbabies and why a new stove burnt out after just 5 years. Coach Bear Bryant stares you down from one wall while Nick Saban looks over your shoulder from the other. I guess Auburn fans are welcome too, but I've never seen any. There are hearing aids in use at each table and canes hooked onto the backs of most chairs. I was the youngest person there when I first started going about 20 years ago. I am 66 now, and this crowd still has me beat. But it is not a relic, not a place frozen in the past. The tables are full by 11:15 a.m. for lunch, and the servers, who all call you sweetie, move almost at a run. It exists warmly in this modern world, turning out traditional Southern foods like fried fish, hamburger steaks, and good vegetables. And maybe the very last plate of kraut and weenies on this earth. Listeners, I must interrupt this essay again to say that what I called a pizza is obviously kraut and weenies. It's a round, in the caricature that was being presented to Rick Bragg. It is a round plate, so it appeared to be. It's a big brown, like pizza pie plate, but it is filled apparently with Those are weenies and sauerkraut. Chopped weenies and sauerkraut. All right, back to our essay. That is one of the specials on Tuesdays, along with catfish and beef tips. Because I do not really adore catfish or beef tips, I figured some time back that I would test my mother's wisdom. The meal came with sumptuous butter peas, rich mashed potatoes with gravy, and a small bowl of fresh coleslaw, plus a tiny cornbread muffin or a warmed-up yeast roll. To be honest, surrounded by all that stuff, a worn-out piece of leather would have tasted pretty fine. I gazed at my plate and summoned up some nerve. I fished around for a little circle of meat. It took a while, since the dish is long on kraut and short on weenies, and then tasted a bite. Let's just say my mama was right. I wonder if she ever gets tired of that. But then again, she also told me that I'd one day yearn for the awful reek of a fried salmon patty. No, not now, not never, no how. And that, listeners, was Southern Journal by Rick Bragg. And now we'll move back onto our locals guide. The article is called Counterculture. Excuse me. Because it's about these beloved diners who keep the South well-fed from morning till night. This is by Tara Masula McKay. And it begins with a photo of a painting of red vinyl seats along an ice blue counter, three overhead hanging lights. There's a clock on the wall up near the ceiling. It's a round red rimmed clock, and there are the two swinging doors with round windows on them nearby that clearly lead into the kitchen. And there are two workers behind the counter, and they are both wearing red caps and white uniforms. The red caps are part of their white uniforms. One worker is taking an order at the counter from a woman who has long blonde hair, and she's dressed in black. We can just see her from the back. And the other is at the counter, a man who's at the counter receiving the food. And then there's another man sitting at the other end of the counter eating, and he's wearing a hard hat. And both the patrons of the diner and the workers are one white and one is of African American descent. Okay, so we were in West Palm Beach, Florida with Howley's Restaurant, and that is spelled Howley. With the motto, cooked in sight, must be right, Howley's has been making old-school diner fare since 1950. When Rodney Mayo, restaurateur and founder of the Subculture Group, purchased the landmark in 2005, he gave it new life, restoring original details like tin ceilings and terrazzo floors while updating the food for a modern palate. Today, longtime staples like short stacks and French toast share space on the menu with acai bowls, crab hash, and fresh-squeezed juices. Since there are no microwaves on site, you can rest assured your meal will be piping hot and cooked to order. At lunch and dinner, find everything from a Thanksgiving feast on the menu year-round to shrimp and grits to fried chicken. Don't leave without sampling a few desserts from their large selection, including delicious chocolate thunder cake, key lime pie, and a banana split with a Belgian waffle. On to Broadway Diner, and this is in Columbia, Missouri. Small but mighty, this neon-lit, shotgun-style space holds just 6 tables and a short counter for 8. Yet it draws a steady crowd that stretches the bounds of its capacity. For more than 75 years, Broadway has delighted Columbia, including lots of hungry Mizzou students. Mizzou! I'm sorry. Mizzou students with straightforward takes on comfort foods. Breakfast runs the gamut from scrambles and omelets to biscuits and gravy, while lunch brings burgers, salads, sandwiches, and their coveted chili. One of the restaurant's quirkier dishes, the stretch, tops a bowl of hash browns and eggs with generous ladles of that chili. A daily lunch special is served Monday through Friday, starting at 11 a.m., and is available until it's gone. Those with a sweet tooth shouldn't miss the apple pecan cinnamon roll. And now on to Jackson, Mississippi. Brent's Drugs, a historic former drugstore, serves soda fountain favorites with a side of retro style. Brent's has been a Jackson mainstay since 1946, when it opened as a pharmacy and soda fountain. Over the years, it has fed generations of Mississippi families and visitors from all over the country. Its mid-century dining room even made an appearance in The Help, that movie. Scenes were filmed along the same counter stools patrons still sit on today. Much of the menu remains true to the roots here. Get a salad sampler with scoops of chicken, tuna, and egg and olive salad served on lettuce to eat while sipping a house-made limeade. Vintage staples like sundaes, floats, and shakes are still offered, too. For a cool surprise, look for a tucked-away door leading to the pharmacy's old storeroom. It's now the Apothecary, a speakeasy that mixes craft cocktails late into the night. And listeners, we have a photo here that echoes the picture of the painting that we described earlier. We're looking straight ahead at the counter, and it's a teal-colored counter, sea green or sea blue, depending on how you look at it, counter. And above the counter in the background, there is a stripe of sea blue that's holding some signs advertising a couple of dishes that can't quite read them, but one says flavor. And there are benches, stools, counter stools. These are not seats, but just round counter stools, chrome, with vinyl seats that are just a bit darker than that sea green or aquamarine blue. At the counter, there is a man and a woman. The man is, there are two women. And one is looking down and writing something as though she's looking at an order slip. And the other seems to be washing dishes or doing something behind the counter. We can't see. They're both looking down. They have their hair up, brown hair up. One's wearing a yellow T-shirt. One's wearing a red T-shirt. And also in the background are stacks of cups, of those red plastic cups, ruby red plastic cups, and white styrofoam cups, and pitchers, and there's a coffee machine, and another machine looks like it might be a blender, and a refrigerator. And then there are one of those old-fashioned boards that are black felt, and the white plastic letters go in between the rows, kind of. You kind of stick their legs in between the rows of that soft black velvet, black felt material in this square board. We can't read it. It appears to be maybe the menu. And there's a light overhead, pendulum hanging light overhead. And the back is splashboard seems to be like a patterned, diamond patterned, off-white, as is the rest of the wall. And now we're going to move on to Clary's Cafe in Savannah, Georgia. And Clary is spelled C-L-A-R-Y. Clary started out as a drugstore in 1903, evolved into an ice cream parlor and cafe in the 1950s, and has been a full-service restaurant since the mid-1980s. The Standby also had a brief stint on the big screen in the 1997 Clint Eastwood film, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. Look for the familiar cursive marquee and a crowd waiting at the door, and you'll be sure that you've arrived. This spot is known for its friendly atmosphere. Dogs are even welcome to join you outside. Order the stuffed French toast, specifically the Elvis, which is filled with bananas and peanut butter. Or consider their homemade corned beef hash. And finally, listeners, Pops in Arcadia, Oklahoma. A touch of whimsy and a whole lot of fizz make Pops a must stop along Oklahoma's stretch of Route 66. Part gas station, part eatery, and part soda lover's dream, the landmark is hard to miss thanks to the 66-foot-tall neon bottle out front that glows each night in shifting colors. Inside, shelves are lined with more than 700 varieties of soft drinks, from old favorites to oddball flavors. The adjoining restaurant has road trip fare like chicken fried steak, burgers, and weekend breakfasts, along with floats, shakes, and their house-made root beer bread pudding. Makes you want to take a road trip and hit all those diners, doesn't it? All right, well, now we'll move on to the South. That's a section of the magazine, and this is called Set Sail, Catch a Wave. Depart from a port near you and choose the cruise of your dreams. Cruise vacations are more popular than ever, and if you live in the South, it has never been easier to get on board. You're likely just to drive away from a port where you can embark on a trip to the Caribbean, Mexico, South America, or another far-flung destination. According to a recent report from Cruise Lines International Association, there were more than 34 million global cruisers in 2024, up from around 29 million in 2019. The Sunshine State is home to three of the busiest ports in the world, offering myriad options for ships and itineraries, including sailings from the largest cruise terminal at Port Miami. You have a wealth of exciting choices for departure locations in our region, whether you start your trip in Florida, New Orleans, Galveston, or other southern spots. The hardest part might be selecting the ship that suits your interests best. And because we're running a little on time, I want to just read the Know Before You Go section, cruisers. I mean, listeners and potential cruisers. Know before you go. Brush up on dining etiquette. Okay. Review the ship's dress code prior to packing. Most menus include vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free dishes. Notify the cruise line ahead of time if you have any allergies or dietary restrictions. Opt to eat with your party or with other guests at a larger table in the main dining room. Let the maitre d' know your preference on the first day of the cruise. Make reservations as soon as they become available. but cancel if your plans change. Tip extra for outstanding service. While tips are covered in the all-inclusive fare, crew members will still appreciate receiving additional cash at the end of your voyage. All right, we'll start here. Exceptional entertainment, dinner and a show. For a romantic getaway, consider Explore Journeys Viking or Regent Luxury Ships. Enjoy a meal at a specialty restaurant, followed by drinks at a piano bar and a musical review or comedy show in the theater. Viking also puts on destination performances that bring the culture of the region you're visiting to life, from Italian operas to Greek dancing. If you embark on one of the six Silver Sea ships, and that's S-I-L-V-E-R-S-E-A ships, that have Silver Note, a sophisticated jazz club, you can expect music and dancing along with tapas-style dishes and signature cocktails. Enchanted evening. For something truly unique, board one of Princess Cruises' newest ships, Star Princess and Sun Princess, and attend Spellbound, an immersive Victorian-themed experience that was dreamed up in partnership with Hollywood's Magic Castle. Guests are ushered into a hidden space for a night of cocktails, illusions, and surprises at the mysterious Inner Circle, Cardini Bar, and Peacock Theater. Culinary adventures, top shelf delights. Food and beverage options on today's ships rival the best restaurants anywhere. Oceana Cruises Finest Cuisine at Sea program, with renowned chef Jacques Pepin as executive culinary advisor, offers gourmet meals, cooking classes, and onshore tours. Explore Journeys has 9 eateries and a hands-on kitchen workshop under the tutelage of a team of experts. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Southern Living. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoyed it and hope you'll listen next time. I'm Joanna LaForgia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. And this broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Again, that's 919-832-5138. So long until next time, listeners.